So, Linwood, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us today. We're extremely excited to have Carolina Small Business as a CNote partner. And I was hoping.
Oh, delighted.
Oh, excellent. And, I was hoping for people that may not understand or know much about Carolina Small Business, can you tell us about it and its core mission?
Sure. Carolina Small Business Development Fund is a small business lender. We focus upon, in fact, our mission statement is to provide capital, business services, and policy and research to support small businesses. So the focus is really upon small businesses throughout the state of North Carolina, although we do provide some lending in South Carolina. So the main focus, small business augmented by business services with policy and research as a focal point to become a thought leader as relates to small businesses, especially in North Carolina.
Gotcha. And how long has Carolina Small Business Development Fund been around?
Great question. Actually, Carolina Small Business Development Fund started in 1989 as the North Carolina Minority Support Center, with a focus for providing capital technical assistance to community development credit union. And then we rebranded in 2008 as the Support Center, with a primary mission toward small business lending. Later rebranded in 2016 to Carolina Small Business Development Fund. And the reason for the second rebranding was that we thought the support center, people were getting it confused. They thought we were a support agency. And so we think the alignment with the new name, logo, nothing changed in the mission or the vision, just an alignment with the name, with the mission.
Gotcha. And
Yeah.
so can you tell us a little bit about the communities you serve and kind of your focus or goals?
Sure. We are, I guess, a way to look at it is we are a very diverse lender. If you look at our lending across the state of North Carolina, you'll find that roughly 57% really are to minorities, people of color. Very pleased that over 38% of our lending is to women entrepreneurs. Gratified that 18.5% of our lending goes to veterans across the state, as well as about 41% to startups. And let me sort of say that the reason startups are so high is that we are SBA-approved community advantage lender, which is a pilot program developed by SBA to allow CDFIs to participate in the 7A program. But they renamed it because of the focus to underserved community advantage. Excuse me. And then about 34% are to low income. So as you can see, the lending is very diverse and has reached that underserved market that typically banks who are strong supporters do not serve because of one, the risk level of some of our borrowers, two, credit issues, and three, size of loans. So those tend to not be accessible for underserved communities and people of color.
Gotcha. You said a magic word in that response, which was CDFI, and I think a lot of people hear that acronym, right, and they don't really know what it means. And since you're expert, can you give us your like one or two sentence explanation of what a CDFI is?
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that many people, and I think across the nation, they hear this word CDFI, they wonder, well, what is that? Well, actually, it's acronym Community Development Financial Institution that is certified by the Department of Treasury to focus upon providing capital, housing, support services to underserved communities. And primarily those communities that have high percentage of poverty, especially persistent poverty. And so the mandate coming from the CDFI fund itself is really serving the underserved, truly underserved across this nation. And we are proud to be a part of our mission and vision, and the vision being creating economic opportunity for all people, sort of capture serving the underserved.
Excellent. Yeah. Sure. So, you know, you talked a little bit about the community you serve, and I was just wondering, you know, when you make these loans, do you see kind of secondary effects on the community, and how does that play out?
Yes, you know, we do a sort of impact assessment analysis of our lending through our borrower survey. We've even partnered with the Center for Budget and Tax here in the state of North Carolina, in the city of Raleigh, and develop a sort of matrix, a formula for looking at indirect impact, which says that you know, when you look at multiplier impact, it says that for every loan we make, there's an indirect impact in that community. And I think that's somewhat abstract, but when you begin to look at it from a simple model we developed, it's simply this: as we make loans, those borrowers hire people, so we add to the employment of those communities. Two, the borrowers, they pay taxes, so you add into the revenue base of those communities. And third, those borrowers are hire people who buy services and goods, which help the economic ecosystem of that community. And so as we make loans, not only are we helping a borrower to move forward, we're actually helping to build the economy of local communities. Because in the aggregate across this nation, over 85% are small businesses. So what drives this economy, and we cannot forget, are really small businesses across this nation. And I think sometimes we forget that. And, you know, when you talk about small businesses nationally, they always talk about regulatory reform being the answer. But no, it's access to capital being the number one issue. And two, when you look at it, when you make a loan, it's more than just a loan to a borrower. Think about all those impacts that I referenced. In terms of tax, in terms of savings, in terms of spending, and it all leads to what we say a healthy and resilient community. And so that's the way we sort of spend it.
Gotcha. No, excellent points you make there. One thing I was wondering is, you know, the common conception a lot of people have is, you know, when a small business gets a loan from a bank or something, they get a check and then they get a pat on the back and they say, good luck, and that's about it. But my understanding is that, you know, a lot of these community lenders like Carolina Small Business Development Fund, they also do other things to assure, you know, that the small business or entrepreneur succeeds. Can you talk a little bit about how you work with the people that you serve?
Sure. One of the things that we have this premises, right, that we make a loan, we want to see that borrower successful. As a part of that, we develop a sort of a risk rating of every loan we make. And with that risk rating, we will establish whether or not this is a borrower that we need to be supportive through our business services, technical assistance, support. And so with that, we're able to sort of follow a borrower from the time that borrower receives a loan and to check on that borrower to make sure that they are meeting not only their target goals, but also they're not experiencing any problem with marketing and cash flow. And because at the end, we certainly want to see the borrower pay us back. But more importantly, we want to see that borrower succeed. Because you think about it, when that borrower succeeds, look at the economic benefit it plays to that local community. And so it's more than just giving a borrower a loan. It is really being that partner and trusted business guide with that borrower.
Excellent. So kind of a shared success model where they do well. And then
Right. So the borrower does well, right? And you look at the model providing capital to small businesses throughout the state. When as those borrowers succeed and pays back, that money is recycled for lending to other borrowers. And so it's a revolving loan fund. And when revolving means that it turns around. And that's important for us because we want to see you not only succeed, but help other borrowers and paying back the loan that you received from us.
Excellent. So you used a word that kind of stood out to me. You used the word risk in your answer before, and I wanted to ask you a little bit about riskiness of loans. And do you think that as someone, as a community lender, as someone who's really close to the community and the people you serve, does that give you an advantage over big banks as far as understanding like the riskiness of your borrowers and the loans that you may issue?
I do. I think that's very important. You raise an important point because one of the things we like to do is get to know our borrowers and our borrowers get to know us. And so it's not that we can scale and trying to scale the loan pool, the number of borrowers, but we want to, our mission is to see those borrowers succeed. And so we want to work with them exactly where they are, and that rating will tell us based upon a number of metrics that we've developed to do that, how much and what level of technical assistance that borrower needs. Because let's face it, when you serve in underserved markets, sometimes they may have great business plans, they may cash flow, but there may be some management issues they have to deal with because you can be good at your industry, but perhaps not good at managing, perhaps not good at fiscal management. And so in order to see you succeed, we can assess that, and from that assessment, we'll say that, okay, this borrower needs some assistance in marketing. This borrower needs some assistance with financial management, or maybe management. And so we can tailor a program for that borrower. And I do think, financial institutions, what larger financial institutions or banks want them to be, but they don't have the time, nor their model, business model, is to provide that technical assistance those borrowers that are in that category. Bank give you a loan, right? You own your own.
Yeah, and that can be challenging. So
it can be, but look at I want to draw this parallel. Look at who banks lend to, right? Small business wise, they are probably your more seasoned business. More likely not to be a startup, more likely to have been in business, more likely to have demonstrated the capacity to repay, more likely have demonstrated the capacity to manage and perhaps more likely not have credit challenges. Look at the borrowers that community financial institutions, our CFIs, typically lend to. Those borrowers are typically underserved. They do not meet the metrics requirements of banks. And more often than not, perhaps do not have as much management experience. So they need some undergirding to help them to be successful in the work they do.
Gotcha. And then that's where lenders like Carolina Small Business Development Fund and other CDFIs try and come in and not only help provide capital. Yeah.
But also that business services are technical system, which is vital to success of those small businesses.
So a little bit earlier, you're talking about kind of this imbalance in capital flows to underserved communities. And so at the end of last year, December of 2017, there was a study that the New York Federal Reserve did that something like only 20% of small businesses with employees are owned by women. And so, and then there's obviously a lot of other statistics related to minority business ownership. In your mind, what are some of the big things we can do as a society to work out these imbalances?
Great questions. I want to draw your attention to a commission study that Wells Fargo did. Right. And they did it looking at access to capital. And they found out, and they didn't have to hire a researcher or pay the research firm that did this study, that people of color, primarily African-American, Hispanic, Latino, women, and veterans tend to have difficulty accessing capital. Take a rocket scientist to figure that one out, right? And so they developed a program around addressing those disparities. I think, you know, while they were very effective in doing that, they missed it in some categories, meaning that CDFIs, particularly those that managed by people of color, tend to suffer from some of the same problems and issues that the borrowers they have that's around access to capital. And so when you look at those groups, African Americans, Latino, Hispanic, and women entrepreneurs and veterans, they do tend to have challenges as relate to access to capital. And I think if you were slice each of them out, that they would face different challenges. For example, one of the things that I looked at was in our lending, I saw a denial rate for African Americans being higher than the other groups we were serving. And I asked the question, why is denial so high? And we found out there were four reasons. One was credit. The second was equity, lack of equity. The third was collateral. Equity and collateral sort of go together because if it speaks to in this broader society, this gap in wealth. You know, if you don't have any wealth, if you don't have any capital, you can't put forward to invest in your property, invest in loans. And the other was business management. So we designed a program to meet those four areas. But you know, in terms of what the larger society can do and pay attention to is the fact that we sort of gloss over these indices and we do not meet them head on with this whole issue of capital specifically targeted for the groups that have difficulty accessing capital. We dance all the way around it, but we never directly face it. And until we directly face this issue, we will always be talking about this disparity between access to capital for these groups that have that difficulty.
Absolutely. That's a great point. And so, you know, obviously people like yourself and funds like Carolina Small Business certainly play a big role
right.
in that. But right. I wonder if some people don't fully understand or maybe don't appreciate the work you do. So I was wondering if you face or notice any common misconceptions about community lending, and is there anything you'd like to like clear up or just kind of clear the record off?
Yeah, I think you raise an important issue. There is a misunderstanding. I think the misunderstanding comes from misinformation and lack of time to understand the challenges that CDFIs face across this nation. We look at them as being another vehicle to just provide capital, whether it's housing, lending, some other areas, as a support organization, not as an organization that's really helping the economy as well as people within underserved communities. And so instead of valuing that contribution to the larger economic impact, we tend to devalue the work. And it's manifested in public policy, where you have public policy around allocation of resources that literally does not put money in for CDFIs in the proportion needed to address some of the great problems facing underserved communities. And so we put money in infrastructure. We put more money in sympathies than we do in CDFIs serving the economies and people of these various communities. And so, you know, if you look at nationally, for example, and the CDFI fund itself, where the administration is trying to cut funds out. And when you cut funds out to allow agencies that's been working for years trying to address inequality, then you're making a statement that you devalue the work of these CDFIs. So I think, one, there's not enough time to understand the work we do and the contribution and building a strong ecosystem within local communities. And thirdly, more importantly, we tend to devalue the work they do and not value the contribution in building access to capital, building strong communities, whether it's in housing or job creation. That's my platform. You hit a nerve for me.
Well, yeah, you've got it down, and you certainly convinced me. And I think one thing that maybe some of our policymakers maybe overlook is that my understanding, and maybe you can speak to this a little bit more right. eloquently than I can, but I think the return on investment is extremely high for these programs. So if you're looking at building a freeway, or, you know, maybe the ROI is higher for some of these CDFI support projects, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, how do you measure? And I don't think you ever think about, or people ever think about, the measurement of return on investment when you look at a number of housing projects and underserved communities that would not have been there unless that CDFI had put it there. The borrower whose life has been made much more fuller by results of capital to start a business. And then you look on the return on investment about the money you put in and the benefit that goes in those local communities. And I don't think we really have accurately captured the total return on investments within local communities, or the return on investment that CDFI yields to the greater economy across this nation in the various communities they serve in various states. It's just huge. You know, when you look at some CDFIs that are in New Market Tax Credit, just scaling businesses, you look at CDFIs that are doing housing projects, that are creating new housing alternatives for low-income neighborhoods. You look at CDFIs that are providing lending that align small business, some who had dreams and able to fulfill their dreams. That's why we call ourselves being dream catchers, because we think that one of the things we do is help people realize their dreams. So you bring up an interesting point. That is the return on investment. Very important. Underestimated, not accurately captured.
Yeah. So, you know, my interview with you today is part of our Changemaker series. So, you know, I can't let you off the hook. I want to ask you some questions about yourself. And sure. For those listening, just to remind everyone, we're talking to Lenwood Long, the CEO of the Carolina Small Business Development Fund. But I wanted to ask you a little background. You know, where did you grow up, and did you ever think that you'd be doing what you're doing today?
Well, I grew up in rural North Carolina, a little place called Bayboro, North Carolina. Proud to be a product of rural America, and grew up in time of segregation. Grew up a time where I never thought a guy from Bayboro, North Carolina, would not only be a CEO of a community development financial institution, but really never imagined that I'd be in a position to help people fulfill their dreams, realize their aspiration, and being an advocate for change and this whole movement toward decreasing the wealth gap that we see in this nation among people of color. And I'm excited to be on this mission. And I must confess that another part of me is ministry, that I am an ordained minister and pastor at church, so I'm not ashamed of that. And so that's another area that I never thought I would be in, but I believe in this thing of divine destiny. And so I think both of those hand in hand, this mission work, I call it mission work, of helping the underserved as well as spiritually nurturing people as well.
Oh, that's excellent. Really inspiring. You know, obviously you're doing fantastic work, it looks like, kind of with everything you touch. My understanding is that, you know, Carolina Small Business Development Fund is done extremely well under your leadership. And I was just wondering if there were any specific accomplishments that you were most proud of personally.
I'm really proud of the team that I've been blessed to help me carry out this mission of serving the underserved through the organization that we've been blessed to lead. And the accomplishment for me is this team spirit that we have. And I don't take credit for anything. Everything I've been able to accomplish is through a great team that I've been blessed to have. So I guess I would frame the accomplishment around this team that we've been assembled to make this impact in local communities across the state.
Gotcha. It's a great way to look at it. And, you know, it takes a big group of people to do big things, and it sounds like you guys are doing
there. It really does. And the other thing is, I always am proud that being a Vietnam veteran, that I can also inspire other veterans to go for it, right? To follow your dream, follow your passion, be risk takers. make things happen, right? So never allow whatever you experience be your destiny. Try it, move it. You feel it, move on it.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, that's great advice. Actually, that makes me want to ask you another question. I like to ask people, if you could go back in time and give 20-year-old Linwood some advice, what would that look like?
Oh, man. It would be Linwood grow up, right? follow. You know what? I would tell him, follow your passion around where you would like to go, right? Because one of the things you have said, Linwood at 20 years old was fighting a war and had no idea why he was fighting that war. And I learned this art of survival in a war setting. And that taught me life lessons in many ways. Left some scars, sure, but it taught me some things too that I would forever cherish about life.
Wow. Yeah. So I was going to ask you, you talked about being a veteran, and I recall correctly, I think you guys may be doing some special initiatives, or is there anything?
We are.
What are those initiatives that Carolina Small Business Development Fund's working on right now?
Well, we have a there's two. One is this whole initiative around small business for veterans. We have a special program, and we're piloting with two other CDFIs, People's Fund out of out of Texas, and Main Street Launch out of California, to design a national program for veterans around best practices. How do you effectively blend to veterans, and what metrics are you using to measure impact and success? So we're proud of that. And we also talked to Bank of America about a program that in the design stage. And the other piece is that I've had this strong interest in women entrepreneurship. And so not only do we operate a women business center, but we have a partnership with Historically Black College and University to try to use university resources to extend outside of the walls into local community, trying to build capacity. And we develop a women entrepreneurship center with a predominantly black university in the state, African American university in the state. And then we're doing another sort of piloting one with YWCA. We call it the Coastal Venture Women's Center. And it's all around trying to be a leverage and partnership with underserved sectors that we meet. And it's a passion area of mine. So our HBCU initiative, that is working with historical black colleges and universities throughout the state, piloting programs where you can have systemic impact in local communities. And another trademark is the Innovation Entrepreneurship Center that we developed with Shaw University, which is a historical black college and university. Sort of unique, sort of different, but it is outside of the box thinking to address disparities that we saw within local communities. We see a need, and we are brazen enough to address it. We're not afraid to do some things that are different.
Yeah, well, I think for big problems, you have to take creative approaches. So it sounds like you're testing everything you can and trying to find.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely right.
So
we're proud of those initiatives.
Excellent. I was going to say, that all of these initiatives you're doing sounds like a big undertaking. But I was wondering too if you had any kind of big goals, like for the next 5 to 10 years, for things you'd like to do with Carolina Small Business Development Fund, or
well, one of the great challenges of CDFIs, and especially CDFIs managed by people of color, is sustainability. And my goal over the next 2 or 3 years is trying to develop equity for Carolina Small Business Development Fund to increase its sustainability ratios, to decrease the dependence upon grants and from state or federal government to survive. Because as we know, that with government being less responsive to community needs, then there is this reluctance, again, policy decision, this reluctance to invest in community development financial institutions, especially those are managed by people of color. And you know, you hear a lot of folks say, I'm not racist, but their policies have racial impact because they are designed to not increase the wealth creation or opportunities in local communities that are in need, but they decrease and devalue those communities. I keep using this word devalue because I think that's what's happening. We devalue the work of CDFIs. We devalue small communities, underserved communities by not investing in them. And so this is we talk about wealth gap, the gap between investments is still strong in this country and in many states where we've seen politics sort of being oblivious to these community needs. And it's racial politics, as far as I'm concerned. That's another form of gerrymandering that we don't even talk about. You got me on a soapbox.
Hey, no, I mean, you're really close to these issues and you're touching them and seeing how that impacts lives on a daily basis. And I think it's good to share your perspective with people, you know, like me. I'm in California and I don't necessarily see what you see. So it's always good to get that other point of view. I don't want to take too much of your time, but I do have a couple kind of practical questions that I want to end on. And also, you know, if you have anything to add, please, it's great talking to you. But I think one thing I wanted to ask you is, you know, you talk about CDFIs needing help and support. And so for those looking to support CDFIs like Carolina Small Business Development Fund and other CDFIs across the country, you know, what recommendations would you make to someone and how they can help?
You know, the recommendation that I make is look at the mission of CDFI such as Carolina Small Business Development. Sort of meditate on that mission, chew on that mission for a moment. And then when you go through the vetting process, vet not only the financial information that rightfully you need, but flavor that vetting with the fact that these organizations or this organization are serving people that would not be served but for, and that but for is very important, but for the services of Carolina Small Business Development Fund over the past 8 years or 9 years, over 600 businesses probably would not have been served. $44 million would not have been dispersed to small businesses across the state, but for Carolina Small Business Development Fund. And so the fact that they're providing loans to individuals and categories and sectors that are unmet. And when you vet that, temper it with all those factors, and perhaps your vetting would be a little different. I understand the risk rate that you have to do. I understand the responsibility, but I don't think there's enough attention paid to the mission and the work they do. And sometimes they get overshadowed by the fact that, you know, can they pay back, right? So we get that, and we understand that, want to be responsible for that. But I guess there's a holistic approach that I think that needs to be taken in that. The other thing I would say is this. CDFI managed by people of color tend to, and I've said this before and I keep saying it, tend to suffer from some of the same problems that the borrowers they serve so well suffer from, and that is access to capital. If you look at the balance sheet of CDFIs managed by people of color and look at balance sheets of those that not people of color, I guarantee if you look at the time they started and the time they are not now, most of them would be greater, larger, would not suffer from capital needs as much as CDFI managed by color. And so, again, this allocation of resources to CDFIs, there's inequity. And so I don't think that has been addressed. We say we're committed to CDFIs, but not really to all of them in the same magnitude. And that's, again, something that I'm addressing and I'm bashful about addressing it. I'm convening, along with a couple other people, a group of CDFIs that are led by African Americans to begin to address this issue and looking at alternative financing. That's why we invited Catherine to be a presenter at this meeting, so that CDFIs managed by people of color, African Americans, understand other issues out here. And that we understand that when we go through, we get vetted out many times. We are not looked at with the same lenses as other CDFIs. So that's saying a lot there, but those things that I would ask people to look at when they look at CDFIs like Carolina Small Business Development Fund. Look at that mission and meditate on that.
Excellent point about kind of viewing the issue holistically and looking at everything right. That you can look at. And just to clarify, yeah. If someone's listening, Lynn was talking about Catherine Berman, she's the CEO of CNote, which is a financial technology company that is working to be a new capital source for CDFIs like Carolina Small Business Development Fund. So that's a partnership we're really excited about and hopefully can be a long-term source of capital and help you guys do the great work that you're doing. One more practical question I have for you is, let's say someone in rural North Carolina happens upon this interview somehow, and or somewhere else in the country, and they're wondering, they have a small business idea and they're an entrepreneur, and they want to secure a loan. What do you tell them, or what kind of advice can you give to them to embark on that journey and make it more plausible that they end up succeeding in their mission?
Good. If there's a small business who happen to run across this interview and become intrigued by what they've heard and want to fulfill their dream, I say, one, go for it. You can go to our website, Carolina Small Business Development Fund. Just put that in and it'll pop up. And you'll see on our website how to apply on each page. At the top of the page, that is how to apply for a loan. And when you tap that, click that button, it'll take you through the application process. More likely, we have regional satellite offices throughout this state. If you're in the Charlotte area, there's a satellite office. If you're in Asheville, if you're in Fayetteville, if you're in Greenville. They tend to work the region. And so go to that website and you'll find us. And if all else fail, I tell them, call me. I will certainly put you in the right direction. And you'd be surprised at the number of people that call me and email me. And I don't know how to get my email address, but they get it. But one thing they can always say, Lindenbrook responds.
Nice. Well, I don't want to take up any more of your time, Lindenbrook. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk with you, learn more about you and Carolina Small Business Development Fund and all the great work that you're doing. And on behalf of everyone at CNOT, we're really excited to be working with you and helping you along in your mission, because you're where the rubber meets the road, and you're doing amazing work to increase economic equality in the United States.
Well, I hope I was able to, one, provide you with the kind of information you need about Carolina Small Business Development Fund, and two, perhaps you got a glimpse of me, the person, as well.